The Old Testament reading this morning comes from the book of Psalm, chapter 34, verses 1 through 8. I will praise the Lord at all times. I will constantly speak his praises. I will boast only in the Lord. Let all who are helpless take heart. Come, let us tell the Lord's greatness. Let us exalt his name together. I prayed to the Lord, and he answered me. He freed me from all my fears. Those who look to him for help will be radiant with joy. No shadow of shame will darken their faces. In my desperation, I prayed, and the Lord listened. He saved me from all my troubles. For the angel of the Lord is a guard. He surrounds and defends all who fear him. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Oh, the joys of those who take refuge in him. This is God's word.
Hi, girls. How are you guys today? One boy over here and all the girls are over here. Okay. She's got an owie, Brighton. She can't walk. She's got an owie. She has a little owie. Well, I need help today. Do you guys like to do treasure hunts? Do you guys like to look for stuff? Well, today's message and Bob's scriptures that he's going to read to us talk about being a community, being a group of people. But we're also going to talk a little bit about food. And not like food that goes in our tummies to make us strong. We're going to talk about Jesus being food, because he's food too. Did you know that? The scripture tells us today that he's the bread of life. What do you think that means? Do you think we eat Jesus? I don't think so. What do you think we do with him? Do you think we eat Jesus, Brighton? Nah, you're right. We don't eat him. But he's got stuff that we need inside of us. His words and his love. That feed us. So not like our tummies get full, but our hearts get full of stuff. So today, I want to talk about food. Some of the ways that we feed people in our community with food is with our food pantry. Have you heard of the food pantry before? Around, Ella, in that basket is a can. Can you pick that can up? Can you show everybody? Around the sanctuary, I have 7 cans that look like this. I need help finding them and putting them in that blue basket for food to help people's tummies. And when we come back, we will do an echo prayer on how Jesus can help us fill our hearts up. So there are 7 cans. Are you ready? When I say go, you got to go find them. You ready? Ready? Set, go. And they're inside the sanctuary. They're all over the place. You guys kind of got your exercise a little bit. It's kind of like I Spy. It's like a treasure hunt. Thank you very much. So with that food, somebody's tummy's going to get filled up. But today we're going to learn about how Jesus fills our hearts up. So will you pray an echo prayer with me? Should we bow our heads? Dear Jesus, thank you for being our bread of life. We love you and we thank you for being our friend. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Thank you.
The New Testament reading today is from the book of Ephesians, chapter 4. Verses 25 through chapter 5, verse 2. So stop telling lies. Let us tell our neighbors the truth, for we are all parts of the same body. And don't sin by letting anger control you. Don't let the sun go down while you are still angry, for anger gives a foothold to the devil. If you are a thief, quit stealing. Instead, use your hands for good work, and then give generously to others in need. Don't use foul or abusive language. Let everything you say be good and helpful, so that your words will be an encouragement to those who hear them. And do not bring sorrow to God's Holy Spirit by the way you live. Remember, he has identified you as his own, guaranteeing that you will be saved on the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, harsh words, and slander, as well as all types of evil behavior. Instead, be kind to each other, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, just as God, through Christ, has forgiven you. Imitate God, therefore, in everything you do, because you are his dear children. Live a life filled with love, following the example of Christ, letting anger control you. Don't let the sun go down while you are... Live a life filled with love, following the example of Christ. He loved us and offered himself as a sacrifice for us, a pleasing aroma to God. This is God's word.
We've now come to the time where we share our joys and concerns.
The reading today is from the book of John, chapter 6, verses 35 through 51. Jesus replied, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry again. Whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. But you haven't believed in me, even though you have seen me. However, those the Father has given me will come to me, and I will never reject them. For I have come down from heaven to do the will of God who sent me, not to do my own will. And this is the will of God, that I should not lose even one of all those he has given me, but that I should raise them up at the last day. For it is my Father's will that all who seek his Son and believe in him should have eternal life. I will raise them up at the last day." Then the people began to murmur in disagreement because he had said, "I am the bread that came down from heaven." They said, "Isn't this Jesus, the son of Joseph? We know his father and mother. How can he say, 'I came down from heaven'?" But Jesus replied, "Stop complaining about what I said, for no one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws them to me, and at the last day I will raise them up. As it is written in the scriptures, they will all be taught by God. Everyone who listens to the Father and learns from him comes to me. Not that anyone has ever seen the Father, only I, who was sent from God, have seen him. I tell you the truth, anyone who believes has eternal life. Yes, I am the bread of life. Your ancestors ate manna in the wilderness, but they all died. Anyone who eats the bread from heaven, however, will never die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Anyone who eats this bread will live forever, and this bread, which I will offer so the world may live, is my flesh." This is God's word. Be seated.
So today's message is entitled, "I Am, Who Are You?" So I hope that you will follow along with me. This is a different type of message that I've given. Pastor Zach asked that those that are behind the pulpit try to follow the lectionary as he has been. So this is my first time of being directed where to look, but I feel it's a great message that God wants us to hear today. So in preparing for this, I actually have been looking throughout the book of John because that's where we are. And it'd be surprising to me, and maybe not surprising to you, but the message that I am the bread of life is that first statement that Jesus has called the I am statement. Do you know that the Gospel of John has all of the I am statements that Jesus makes? I didn't know that. So that was kind of cool that I found that out. What I asked Dean to do was put a few of these statements on the screen for us. Many of them are going to be familiar to you. Some may be new. So let's do this together. So number one, I am the bread of life, which came down from heaven. I am the light of the world. I am the door of the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I am the Son of God. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. And I am the true vine. All came from chapter John, the book of John, which I thought was great. For each of the I am statements are signifying a certain relationship of Jesus
to the spiritual needs of men and women. Jesus is the light in the darkness. He's the gate for security, and he's the shepherd that guides us. He is the way, the truth, and the life. In every one of these, we see Jesus wants us to receive him, not for the gifts that he can give us, but for what he can be to us. Right after the feeding of the 5,000 that we learned about last week, Jesus made the first recorded I am statement. And this was a point where Jesus had reached kind of the top of his popularity back then. In fact, the crowds wanted him to be their king, and they were prepared, if necessary, by force, to take him and make him that king. Because of this, Jesus crossed the lake to get away from their demands. But the rest of the day, when they figured out who he was, the growing crowd took boats and followed him across the lake. It was at this point that Jesus told a record-breaking crowd, "I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never go hungry, and he who believes in me will never be thirsty." That's chapter 6, verse 35. In chapter 6, John tells us that people grumbled, they mumbled, they argued, they whined, and ultimately they left in groups. The scripture gives us some clues to the kind of people that left Jesus behind when he preached the Bread of Life sermon. I've broken these groups down into three categories, and I'd like to take a few minutes to kind of talk about each category. Many of the people who followed Jesus at this point of his ministry were hoping for a political savior. They wanted a political solution, free handouts and material goodies. For them, Jesus was the latest and greatest gravy train. These people had watched Rome have limited success for instituting a sort of welfare program back in that day called the Bread for Peace. There were many hungry, jobless, and homeless individuals in Rome. So the government tried to avoid riots by buying them off with goodies. The plan backfired, unfortunately, because the demands of the crowd simply overwhelmed the system that was in place. Jesus faced a similar problem that day after he fed the 5,000 with bread and fish. In fact, when the crowds arrived, they looked to the scriptures to see how he would greet them. Jesus said, "I tell you the truth. You are looking for me not because you saw miraculous things, but because you ate the loaves and had your fill." That's from chapter 6, verse 26. Do you know there are missionaries in the third world that are nicknamed Rice Christians? These are people who will quickly convert to Christianity in exchange for food or some other physical benefit. The problem with Rice Christians is that when goodies are gone, so are they. Christians in America, we're really not so different. Too many of us use church for maybe business connections, or maybe that's the status quo or the community status that we need. Rice Christians can be found all over the world. These people look to God only for what they can get. They are quick to turn their backs on God the first time when things just don't go their way or when he fails to deliver what they want. Jesus told the crowd, "Do not work for food that spoils, but for food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. On him, God the Father has planted his hidden seal of approval." That came from verse 27. I call these people materialists. Materialists in the crowd that day, they turned away from Jesus' message when it shifted from physical food or goodies to spiritual food. That's group number one. Group number two I've labeled the legalists. So what about them in the crowd? They asked Jesus from verse 28, "What must we do for God for the works that he has?" If these people couldn't get a free lunch, at least they wanted a list of rules that they could hang on to. Throughout the Christian history, the church has often fallen into sin of legalism. The problem is it's easier to make a bunch of rules than build relationships. Jesus wants to live in the heart of every individual believer. He has sent his Spirit to write the law on our hearts. He calls every one of us to study his word for ourselves and learn from him directly. When we do that, the church enjoys an amazing time with unity, morals, and principles. But some people simply don't want a deep relationship with Jesus. They'd rather find a strong leader and memorize a set of rules. Jesus has no interest in these kind of followers. Jesus came to build relationships, not rules. When the crowd demanded a list of works, Jesus gave this surprising answer from verse 29. The works of God is this, to believe in the one he has sent. As amazing as it sounds, Jesus wants a genuine love relationship with every one of us. That kind of relationship cannot be bought with goodies. It cannot be built on rules. So the materialists wanted goodies more than they wanted God. And the legalists, in my opinion, wanted the law, but not the giver of that law. They rejected Jesus as a replacement for the rule-keeping religion of that day. And then one more group rejected Jesus. And last but not least is my favorite group of all, the sensationalists. These people asked Jesus this crazy question from verse 30. What miraculous sign then will you give that we may see it and believe in you? What will you do? Think back to last week's scripture. Jesus had just fed 5,000 people with 2 fish and 5 loaves of bread. The very next day, they are asking him for a sign. Obviously, the miracle of feeding 5,000 gave them enough faith to climb into boats and to paddle all the way across the lake to find him. However, it was not enough to keep them satisfied. I kind of think today's church might be something similar like a sensationalist. We're filled with different kinds of people in church. These kind of folks I call pep rally believers. Keep them wowed and they'll keep around. Bore them to tears and they're out of here. These people crave spiritual excitement. They love to be entertained. They want a new experience all the time. They want Jesus to take them from one mountaintop experience to the next with no valleys in between. They want all kinds of rewards but no responsibility. The truth is, many believers are very fickle. That is why so many people hop from church to church to church. They're always looking for the newest style, the latest seminar, the most electrifying concert, and the most exciting presentation. Jesus did not come to give us endless spiritual highs. He came to give us a chance to know him personally. Look at the message Jesus gave the materialists, the legalists, and the sensationalists that day. The bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. Sir, they said, from now on, give us this bread. And Jesus declared, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never go hungry, and he who believes in me will never be thirsty. But as I told you, you have seen me, and you still do not believe. That's from verses 23 through 36. The response of the crowd tells us a lot about the difference between what people want and what they need. So often, the very thing people need the most is the last thing they are looking for. Look at the sad response of the crowd. Is this not Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How can he now say, I came down from heaven? That's from verse 41 and 42. It turns out that even some of his closest disciples wanted Jesus only for what they could get out of him. They had no real interest in a relationship with Jesus. They wanted to do business with Jesus as the soup kitchen, or Jesus the cult leader, or Jesus the miracle worker. Jesus, the bread of life, just didn't resonate with them, so they walked out. Each of us can see ourselves in that crowd, as a materialist, as a legalist, or a sensationalist, or maybe a combination. We live in a world that demands lives that project outward with big cars, large homes, nice clothes, great jobs. But inside, we are empty. We need to be filled with the bread of life that only Jesus offers, and he will fill us physically and spiritually as we build a relationship with him. May we never be satisfied with just satisfying our physical bodies, but may we challenge ourselves to seek him always and his amazing grace. As I close this, I challenge all of us to continue to use our box just for Jesus and our basket as things that we need to surrender so that we're not part of that crowd and that we can open our hearts and minds to seek Jesus, the true bread of life. If you'll join with me and stand our closing sermon, and then we'll close with a prayer and benediction. Father, Lord, life is tough, and sometimes it's so easy to be distracted by those things so that we're not connected to you. And Lord, I pray that we find that strength and courage, that we ask for your grace and mercy to help us always be focused on that building that relationship with you. Lord, we can be pulled many different directions in many different ways, but Lord, you are the true bread of life. You give us everything that we need. And Lord, there is nothing that you won't do for us because of your immense love for us. So Lord, I ask that you remain with us in the weeks, in months, in years ahead to build that relationship, to help guide us and protect us. And Lord, we are just awed by your amazing grace. As we leave this place today, for those of us that are staying to eat our mission meal, Lord, I bless the hands that prepared this. Lord, it is a miraculous thing, the missions that go on in your place. And Lord, I thank you that there are those of us devoted and those of us that are seeking your will out in the world. Keep us safe from harm. Bring us safely back together next week. I ask it in your precious Son's name, Jesus. Amen.